Well, good morning. It is great to be here. Great to see all of you smiling faces. Hope everybody had a great weekend so far. Certainly, this is a reminder of winter, but spring is coming. Yes! Well, last week we did a class, kind of call it a class, sermon class, the effect of grace. Well, this is what we're doing today, the effect of grace. Last week what we talked about was the powerful state of grace. And in a powerful state of grace, there are only two places you can be. In Christ or outside of Christ. This is not fair. There is no fairness in grace. But grace isn't just unmerited favor, it's also a power. It's powerful to be in the state of grace. So everyone is either in Christ or outside of Christ. If you're in Christ, you are absolutely perfect. God does not see the ups and downs of life, the sin, the good times, the bad times. All of it is total depravity. What God sees is perfection. That if you're in the blood of Christ, if you're in Jesus Christ, God looks at you, He doesn't see you, He sees Jesus. And Jesus is perfect. And so if you're in Christ, the amazing thing is you are absolutely perfect in Christ. Well, how should we feel about that? If you're not elated, you don't get it. You should be absolutely stunned to begin with that God would save you, me. I'm stunned He would save me. So we should be stunned, and then we should just be rejoicing. We should just be full of joy and elation. And then gratitude. That we become so grateful that we are in this state of grace. But then it shouldn't just change our emotions. When we really understand what it means to be in Christ, that we are absolutely perfect. No matter how good your day is going or how bad your day is going, or if you're doing loop-de-loops in your life, it shouldn't matter because in Christ we are absolutely perfect. So not only should we be elated and joyful, but it should change us. It should change our macro attitudes. It should change our lifestyle. It should change our priorities. So today we're going to look at how Paul felt about grace. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We want to talk about how grace had a profound impact on the Apostle Paul's life and how it needs to have an identical impact on our lives today. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 and 10, this is going to be our go-to. This is going to be our camp-out scripture. This is the scripture we're going to come back to over and over during this message. Paul was a grateful man. It doesn't take you long to read through the epistles to realize how grateful he was, how he felt about Jesus in his life, his personal relationship with the Creator. Paul wasn't just grateful. Grace had a profound impact on Paul's life. Grace was very effective in his life as it produced a very work-driven result in Paul. So let's look at this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and starting in verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Speaking of all the other disciples, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Paul is saying that grace was powerfully effective in his life. Very effective. What did it produce? He said he worked harder than any other disciple. Now, there can be a couple emotional reactions to this verse when we read it. Oftentimes, it depends on whether we're the accused or whether we're the oblivious. But the two basic emotional reactions that this verse can bring are, number one, I'm already doing so much already. I can't do anymore. I'm about to break. That's the first emotional reaction when we read this verse. The second emotional reaction is this. Wow, this is awesome. I want to imitate Paul. I want more of that grace. I want to be like Paul. I want to do more for God. Have you determined which one you're in? The difference in the two is all perspective. Isn't it funny how you can read one verse and have two people do completely opposite reactions to this one verse? One's excited, one's overwhelmed. But oftentimes it depends on perspective. One perspective does sound overwhelming. I'm already doing so much already because the work harder, work harder. I can't work any harder. I'm overwhelmed. But the other one sounds inspiring. The grace of God that was with me. Yeah, wow, I want that grace. So, this is what we do quite often. We shouldn't, but we do. We take scissors and cut out certain verses and cut out just the parts we like and then discard the other parts. Now, we're not the only ones that do this. People have been doing this for centuries. It's wrong. Can you imagine how God feels about it when you're cutting His Word to pieces? But even if you don't use physical scissors, we oftentimes do that just with our eyes. We look at certain things and we ignore other things. And that's what's happening here with perspective. The difference in this verse, or the difference in our emotional reactions to this verse, is the perspective. If we just highlight one part, no, I worked harder than all of them, and we just ignore everything else about the verse, and we just focus on work, and that's all we talk about. We need to work. We need to work harder. Are you working harder, brother? Sister, you need to work harder. We need to work. That does sound overwhelming, doesn't it? It's not very inspiring. Let's work more. Let's work. Let's just work. So, yeah, I mean, it is overwhelming if that's all you do. You just cut that verse out of the Bible. Or let's look at the other one. You ignore the work harder. Just ignore that verse in the Bible and only look at this part of the verse. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Yeah, we can have a couple camps here. We can have the grace of God camp. You ready? The grace of God that was in me. I want that. I love that. I want the grace of God in me. So we can have that camp. You ready for that? Who's in that camp? Who's in the work harder camp? Nobody wants to admit. There are a few. Yeah? Thank you for admitting it. They were like, ugh. Yeah, we tend to be in one camp or the other. That's what... But God doesn't want us cutting and pasting His verses. We got to take the whole verse. It gets overwhelming because we're only looking at part of the verse. We got to look at the entire verse. When we put them both together, we get a completely different picture. Go back to verse 10. Look at the whole verse. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul's saying, he is no one without the grace of God. His whole being is because of the grace of God. That's who he is. It's because of the grace of God. And his grace to me was not without effect. In other words, grace did something to him. It changed him. It empowered him to do what? No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. That's important. Yet not I, but. Those are important words to put this whole thing together. In other words, it's not our power at all. We're not doing the work. It's actually God working through us. And Paul eagerly sought that. We are only capable of sin. If we do good works, we get no credit for that. That's all God. All of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. That's what Isaiah said. So if we do anything good, to God be the glory. I didn't get an amen, but I really should have gotten an amen. If we do any good works, to God be the glory. Yeah, okay, I want to make sure we get this. Because just because we're doing good things, we can't take any credit for that at all. Paul is painting a picture here that should motivate us. Paul was so grateful for his salvation, so motivated by grace, he eagerly sought out God's power at work in his life. He wanted to be strong in the grace. It drove him to do great things through God's power. Paul wanted more and more of God at work in his life. The more he saw the forgiveness, the more grateful he was. He said, God, use me more. Quite frequently, we're like, God, use me less. But that's not an understanding of grace at all. Grace is power. We want more grace. You know, we often hear that greed is bad. Don't we? Is it just me? Okay, we've all heard this. I think personally, I think occasionally greed is good. In what? Grace. I think it's good to be greedy for grace. Greedy for more of God's power. Greedy for more gratitude. Greedy for more humility. I think these are all good things. Listen, if discipleship is a burden, it's a pretty good indication that you're working by the flesh and not by the Spirit. And as a result, you're going to have a slow disconnect with Jesus. No one can handle the burden of discipleship. You will eventually just drift away because it's too hard. If discipleship is a joy, most likely it's a reflection of God working in your life. Seeing God at work in your life is always a joy. I love seeing God at work in my life. I pray every day, God, use me more. God, work through me, speak through me, move through me. Because when I see God doing it, when I get out of the way and I see God doing it through me, it's exciting. It's like, God, can you do that again? I want more of God, not less. I love God working through my life. I want Jesus to work harder all the time. Bring it on! But I feel very grateful for the grace. When you see God working in your life, you feel strengthened, built up, and empowered. And you get greedy for God to do even more. You know, life can be brutal. All of us get discouraged. All of us. All of us forget. I get discouraged. I struggle with discouragement. One of my biggest struggles. All of us get overwhelmed by life. Conrad was pointing out something Tom McGrath had shared with him that really helped him. Tom McGrath said, listen, you're going to have problems in life. You're either going to have problems in the church or you're going to have problems outside of the church. I'd rather have problems in the church. Life can be brutal. How can we do all the things Jesus is asking us to do as disciples if we're constantly overwhelmed? Chances are we're not walking in grace. God knows how discouraged we get. He knows how overwhelmed we get. God has actually made victory impossible without His power. He allows us to get overwhelmed and discouraged. He just stands back and watches as we get overwhelmed by life, discouraged by everything, and He just stands back and watches. But you know what they are? You know what these emotions are, these moments are, these discouragement, these eras and seasons? You know what it really is? It is God's wake-up call to us that we're doing something wrong. Now, it doesn't mean that we'll never feel that way. I'm talking about when we're always feeling this way, always overwhelmed, always loaded up. We can't handle one more thing. We see a sister coming to us to ask us to do something. It's like, no, flee. We see a brother coming up to say, brother, can you know? And God just watches it. He allows it to happen because it's His wake-up call for us to return to Him and the real power. You are not equipped to live your life on your power. So stop pretending you can. You were built by God to be dependent on His power. To have a life that's impossible to live without the grace of God empowering everything about you. We tease some people saying, man, I just can't even get out of bed without the grace of God. And we're like, really? I can. Really? I'm just saying. Have you ever had a toothache? I mean, a really bad toothache? Isn't that a wake-up call? Isn't that a wake-up call you need? Who do you need? When you have a toothache, what's it a wake-up call for? I better go to the dentist. Now, you can always just handle it on your own. I heard cloves work. But I think for most of us, we'll realize that when we have a bad toothache, we actually have got to take some action here and make a change here and rearrange our schedule. And, well, we're having a really busy day here. You know, I really find toothaches to be a really great example because no matter how busy your day is or how many appointments you have, if it's a really bad toothache, things seem to change. Suddenly you're not as busy as you were because toothaches are a wake-up call. Well, that should be our life. If you're always overwhelmed, always dragged down, always burdened, always Christianity's like this, actually, you're on your way out. This is a wake-up call. That's not why Jesus died on a cross. It's not. It's His wake-up call. We need Jesus. And God has given us everything we need in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. We have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ. And an almost unbelievable promise in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is amazing. An almost unbelievable promise. You got to go over there. I didn't print it out. Sometimes it's important to actually turn your Bibles or flip or whatever, point, touch. I don't know what to say nowadays. Let's go over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. This is a promise of God. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. What's the promise? God will never push you over a cliff. He always provides a way out. By whose power? He will always provide a way out. By whose power? Not yours, because you are powerless. He will always provide a way out. By whose power? God's power. His power. See, what we want is a change in circumstances. What God wants is a change in dependence. We want to change our circumstances. God, change our circumstances. God, take away this. God, change that. God, if only, God. And God's just like, I'm not going to answer that prayer. Oh, I am going to answer your prayer, but I'm going to answer it different than what you're asking. I'm going to give you power. You're like, no, change the circumstances. I don't need power. Just remove it. And God's like, no, you're not going to grow that way. You're just going to become arrogant. Instead, I'm just going to wait and you can just do all the chaos you want until you finally say, enough, I just have to repent and depend on God's power. And God's power steps in and it works and it's like, wow, why didn't I do that 5 days ago? Can we all relate to this? We can all relate to this. God wants to empower you, but it's not going to be on your terms. It's going to be on His perfect terms, not on our worldly terms. So, how should we react to grace's call? Grace's call. I am what I am by the grace of God. And His grace to me was not without effect, no. I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. How should we react to that call? Joy. Absolute joy. Rejoice that life can be so overwhelming. Rejoice that discipleship demands so much, because it's a wonderful opportunity to depend on Jesus. Rejoice that you have all those challenges, all the things to try to fit together, all the plates to spin, all these things, and then you're going to be asked to do even more, because him who has been entrusted with much, much more will be demanded. So God's going to give you even more. And even more. And even so we better get this down. Because he ain't going to give you less. He's going to give you more. And if we're depending on him, bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. You have anything more I can do? Absolutely. Talk to me about it. Because God's going to do it. Are there ways that I can serve more in the church? I'd love to serve more in the church. Bring it on. Because Jesus is going to empower me. Are there some other things that I can help with? I'd love to. Absolutely. Because God is going to enable me to do this thing. That's what the Christian life. That's the excitement of the Christian life. That's why you can see Christians so excited to be Christians. And it's like, oh, they have no problems, do they? We judge people. We do. Oh, they have no problems. How do you know they have no problems? How about maybe they do have a lot of problems, but they're just trusting in God a lot more than you are. Isn't that right? So, the grand question becomes, which focus will we live by? Will we focus on the work or the power? Because living by the power of God is incredibly exciting. But living the life of a disciple by working on your own power is exhausting. But Jesus designed the Christian life to be amazing and full of peace and security. Jesus did not say, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'm going to work you to death and exhaust you. That's not in my Bible. Is it in yours? Then why is it in your heart? Why have you created a scripture that doesn't exist? Why do you act like you can't handle one more thing? We need to repent. We need to believe Jesus. He didn't say He's going to exhaust you. He says He's going to excite your life. He's going to give you a full life in Christ. Every spiritual blessing, every power you need to live what Jesus has asked you to do. That's the Christian life. He has asked our life to be amazing. Look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Here's Jesus' promise. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you more to do in the church. But that's what we think. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. How does He do that? How does He give us rest? How does He define rest? We've got to read the rest of the Scripture. The answers are always in the Scripture. What is the answer? How does Jesus give us rest? How does Jesus say this? How does He define this? How does He give us rest? He defines it in this way. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Where does the rest come from? The rest comes from taking what upon us? What does a yoke symbolize? Work and burden. Work and burden. And Jesus says the way to get the rest is to take a yoke on you. Not to do less, but to do more. He says that once we do that, we will learn from Jesus what rest really is. That rest isn't defined in worldly terms. Rest isn't what the world can give you. Rest is not what circumstances will give you. But instead, rest is who where Jesus, where it comes from Jesus, Jesus will give you rest when you take a yoke of Jesus and you start walking with Jesus and learning from Jesus. You find rest for your soul as you work with Jesus. Because He is gentle and humble in heart. That's why we find rest for our souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then we go, but those are those two words. I hate those two words. I can't stand those words. Yoke and burden. Can we just cut those out of the Bible? Can we take scissors and please cut those out? Oh, how we want to change scriptures so often. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, because I am easy and light. Yes, that's called gospel light. And it's a deception. And it's driven by worldly ambition and worldly desire. Only Jesus can give this rest. And only through Jesus will you find this rest. And only with His yoke will you learn what that rest is. And only going back to Jesus and His yoke and His work and learning from Him and imitating Him and walking with Jesus and walking in His way, and a yoke is there to bind two people together. And who are those two people that Jesus wants bound together? You and Jesus. And a yoke is there to make sure you're walking in the same direction. And when we go like this, and Jesus is walking like this, what does the yoke do? It pulls us back. I'm going to need Tony. Rest is not found in the world, and rest is not found in your way, and rest is not found in what you want to do with your life, and rest is not found in your dreams and your aspirations and what you want to do. Rest is found in Jesus. When we are yoked with Jesus, when we are walking in the same direction as Jesus, that's where we find rest. I am what I am by the grace of God, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Is Christianity a burden or a joy? Depends on your heart. Hey, let me ask this question. Is repentance a burden or a joy? Look at this scripture. This is Acts 3:19. So as repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. What is the Bible says repentance is refreshing. So if your repentance isn't refreshing, you're not repenting. Because biblical repentance brings refreshment, not burden. Is repentance something you want to do or something you have to do? Worldly repentance is, man, I sinned. Man, I lied. I'm going to have to go talk about it. Everybody's going to look at me like a liar. People are going to really have a hard time. Nobody's going to trust me. Is that repentance? No, that's worldly sorrow. What is repentance? Man, I lied. I'm going to have to go tell people. This isn't right. I mean, this was wrong of me to do this. I mean, people are going to make decisions based on my lie. That is wrong. I feel horrible. I need to go tell people. I need to change. I don't want to be that. What does that bring? Refreshment. Don't be the spoiled kid. Oh, I have to. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. Paul considered the work of God, the work God had given him, to be a joy and a privilege. He said he didn't even deserve to be called to serve. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Why do we have to work at all? Why do we have to do this work? Why can't Christianity just be waiting around for heaven? As many say it is. Actually, there's a lot of teaching out there that says Christianity is nothing more than just waiting around for heaven. That's not what my Bible says. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Why do we have to work at all? It says here in Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. We don't do good works to get saved, because that's impossible. We do good works because we are saved. Grace and forgiveness produce an overwhelming gratitude in us that leads to good works. But it is not our power, it is His power working in us that does it. So we have nothing to boast about. Good works can't be credited to us. They can only be credited to God. But we are called to do them. We're actually created before the beginning of the world. We were created before the beginning of the world to do good works. If you're a Christian, you were actually created by God to do a lot of good works. Not to boast in, but because we're so grateful. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but who's few? Yeah, we have some work. What did He create us to do? To be workers where? Where are we workers? Workers where? In the fields. Where are the fields? Westchester, Putnam, Dutchess. Where are the fields? They're all around you. That's a little scary, isn't it? They're everywhere. And these fields have no idea who they are. So we're going into these fields and we're going to share our faith. And they're not going to get it. Now some will. Because God has created everybody with a need for Him. So some will get this and some won't. But we're created to be workers in the field. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He rescued lost souls and adopted them into His family to be His, to do His will, and then finally to be workers in His field with joy. And we were created by God for a purpose, not to wait for eternity, but to work because we're already in eternity. So what is life in the state of grace like? What's it like? Life in the powerful state of grace. Life in the powerful state of grace. It's amazing. It's powerful. That's why Paul said to Timothy, be strong in the grace in Christ Jesus. Grace is not just unmerited favor, it's also power and strength. We see a God at work in us. It's amazing. That's why Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. How do you view discipleship today, Christianity? A set of rules and regulations or a relationship with the Creator of the universe through grace? Yeah, if Christianity is a burden, it's probably because you have a whole list of things. But seeing God work in your life and just powerfully you become someone different, no complaints, only gratitude. We're being called by Jesus to do the impossible without the power of grace. But with the power of grace, you can live an amazing, effective life. I know we have some discouraged people in here. It hurts me to see Christians so weighed down. They're getting a smile out barely. They're just loaded. And they're avoiding things like Jackie Copeland. See, Jackie is in charge of our rotations, serving rotations. And when we see Jackie come, we flee. Because we don't think we can handle anything more. And the fact is, you can't. Because that just proves you're just working on your own power. But that's not how Jesus has it. He says, come to me and learn from me. I will give you rest, but you've got to take my yoke. You've got to walk in my way. You've got to join me to get all at rest. It just hurts me to see so many in the congregation so weighed down, so discouraged, so burdened.
We need Jesus. We're going to have discouraging days. We're going to have discouraging seasons and disappointments. That's why the Bible commands us to be in one another's lives, encouraging one another daily. I've heard some people, I've seen some people, act like they don't need anybody else in the church. And that's a lie. The Bible exposes that as a lie of Satan. You desperately need people in the church. You need people in your lives to encourage you, to pray with you. So if you're discouraged today, I want to encourage you to grab somebody to pray with. Grab somebody to study the Bible with you. Because we need to be strong. Let's be strong. Why not do this thing? Let's live Christianity the way the Bible says it and not how the world defines it. Let's go back to being strong in the grace. Let's go back to being powerful in God's power through us. And at the end of the day, when we see God working through us, God living through us, existing through us, speaking through us, sharing through us, everything through us, with joy, we will say exactly what Paul said. I am what I am by the grace of God. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me powerfully worked in my life. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westchester Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit westchester.nyc.coc.net.